one part of me that is like, I'm doing it, I'm dying to be healthier. And then there's this other part of me that is doing something totally different, completely sabotaging me. It's like I have these two different people inside of me pulling me in different directions. I almost feel crazy. I feel psychotic. I feel schizophrenic. I feel like I have all these people inside of me. What the heck is happening? Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute with me, Gina Warfel, a podcast that invites you on a journey to self-trust with your food and body so you can reclaim your health with confidence. As a registered dietitian who has multiple degrees in health, and yet I was constantly at war with my body and couldn't trust myself with food, I've made it my mission to show you that coming into harmony with your food and body is all possible. I challenge conventional and outdated ways of dieting to show you how to step into sovereignty over your food choices and life. I can't wait to share with you the depths of my own journey, as well as thoughts from experts and real human beings on their journey, just like you. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are going deep. We're diving into the subconscious mind. I recently had someone reach out to me and say, Gina, what is going on? I actually feel psychotic when it comes to my health. I feel crazy. I feel like there's this Jekyll and Hyde inside of me. Like there's one part of me that is like, I'm doing it, I'm dying to be healthier. And then there's this other part of me that is doing something totally different, completely sabotaging me. It's like I have these two different people inside of me pulling me in different directions. I almost feel crazy. I feel psychotic. I feel schizophrenic. I feel like I have all these people inside of me. What the heck is happening? And this is actually a really common feeling where you feel like you're actually being pulled in two opposite directions. Like there's two people inside of you, two desires inside of you, and they're pulling you in each direction. And this topic requires us to go on a deeper self-exploration. But you know that that's what I like to do here. This is what Mastering Mindfulness is all about. We peel back the deeper layers that a lot of health programs just don't touch. We dive into asking deeper questions and really understanding ourselves and why we do what we do. This kind of work has been life-changing for me to understand myself, learn how to work with myself, bring those two aspects of myself into harmony together. So we need to go deeper into peeling back the layers if we actually want to feel like we're in harmony with all these parts of us. So there are many different factors that create that feeling. I'm going to dive into some of them today. And we really want to focus on the subconscious mind today, the interplay between our conscious mind and the subconscious mind. This is one of the biggest influences that I see that pulls people in two opposing different directions. And it takes a little bit of a self-exploration. So I'm going to give you some stories, some examples, some prompts to think about, so you can go a little bit deeper instead of just getting stuck in those loops of like, what is wrong with you? Why do you want this, but you're not doing it, right? That judgment and that being so hard on ourselves, it's actually not helpful. It's kind of keeping us on the surface. So let's let go of that judgment, understand that there's a reason why you feel this way, and let's go on a deeper exploration together. Bring your curiosity, bring your compassion with you. That's what we need to be able to move forward. And let's dive into some of the things that I've learned about the subconscious mind and how it's helped me. So you may have heard before of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, or at least maybe a little familiar with it. I'll describe it here. So I like to think of it as like an iceberg, where the tip of the iceberg is like the conscious mind. That is what we have awareness of. It's where we maybe set health goals. We have willpower. That's where that part of your mind that might say, it would be a good idea for me to get healthier because it makes sense. I need to change my health. My labs aren't good. I'd feel better. It's like all this information and conscious stuff that we're aware of that we want to change. Now, in our perspective, often we're like, this is what should drive my behavior. I know I want to change. I should just do it. But what has been found is that it only influences our decision making by about 5%. So if you are trying to use your conscious thoughts like information to make a change, it often is a very weak way to change your behavior. It's like, kind of fizzles out because there are deeper things that actually drive our behavior. It's estimated that about 95% of what actually drives our behavior is what's below the tip of the iceberg, what is underneath water that we don't see, the bulk of that iceberg, which is known as the subconscious mind. And this is out of our awareness. It is where we have our beliefs. It's where we have our feelings. It's more of like the it's like the interworking of our psyche, of where we created these deeper things of why we do what we do, and it propels our decision making forward. But we don't really have a lot of awareness of what's happening in our subconscious mind. So without awareness of it, this is what's controlling about 95% of our behavior and our decision-making without even our awareness of what's going on. So I love that quote. I love that quote by Carl Jung that he says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. I love that quote because it is so true. If you have things in your unconscious mind or your subconscious, what you're not aware of, and if it stays in your subconscious, if it stays out of your awareness, that's what's going to drive your behaviors. It's going to control your life. And you'll just say, oh, well, this is just my fate. I just don't have willpower. This is just who I am. Something is wrong with me. And we stay in this like surface level confusion and loops and blame and self-judgment, and we don't really get anywhere. So when we create the safety to start exploring our subconscious mind, then everything becomes understood. So I want to start giving you some perspectives and some things to think about of how this works so you can create some safety to be able to start exploring what is in my subconscious mind if I want to start going deeper, asking those deeper questions. So let's say we take a journey into the subconscious mind. One, it starts with feeling safe to do it. We want to come from a place of curiosity, willing to explore our feelings, our thoughts, our beliefs. Things can come from our subconscious up into our conscious mind when we feel that we are safe to do it. That, you know, our subconscious mind actually plays a really good role at protecting us, at keeping the things out of our awareness, to pushing them away. But like I said, if it stays out of our awareness, it controls our behaviors and we don't understand why. So we want to start exploring what is in our subconscious mind. A lot of the things in our subconscious were created based on memories or past experiences that created feelings or beliefs about a situation. So we want to begin exploring things, for example, like our beliefs. So there's many different beliefs that we create. It could be beliefs about food, beliefs about health, beliefs about the world, beliefs about yourself. In a previous podcast, I talked about self-image and identity. That's really huge. We're going to go into what are some beliefs that might be creating these two opposing forces. So let's start with a belief about food. Let's say that your conscious mind, the tip of the iceberg, is like, I want to get healthier. Let's say, for example, I want to lose weight. So everyone tells me that in order to lose weight, I should cut back my portions. That makes sense, right? But let's say your subconscious mind has a different belief about food. Let's say your subconscious mind was programmed to believe that there's not enough food. This is a really common one. This is just one example of so many different examples about food. But let's say when you were a kid, you didn't have enough food. Maybe your family struggled to put food on the table. Or let's say that you had a lot of siblings and they were all scrambling for food. Maybe there was enough food, but everyone was fighting for it. Or maybe there actually wasn't enough food. But let's just say that there was an experience where you felt as a child or at some point in life, there's not enough food. That means that food is scarce. There's not enough of it. When we create a belief like that, that food is scarce, that causes us to change our behavior in order to adapt, in order to survive in life. So we usually learn these beliefs from a very young age, like ages 2 to 7, and we create a belief based on an experience. That's what we're supposed to be doing when we're at that age. We don't know how the world works yet, so we're like, okay, let me calculate. If this happens, this happens. If this happens, this happens. And you're like creating this internal understanding of like, how does the world work? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm safe and secure in this world? So if we go back to our example, you're a child and you see everyone fighting for food and your mind is like, okay, everyone's racing for food. Food is gone. There's not enough food. I need to eat as much as possible. Actually, as a strategy, I need to eat more than what I need because I might not have any later. So you learn from a young age, I need to eat more food than what is actually needed or here to protect me. This is a very useful survival strategy. And most of us don't upgrade these beliefs since childhood. We never question them. So as you grow up, you're always eating a little bit more than what you need because this subconscious programming says you need to eat more for survival. So you're eating a little more, you're eating a little bit more, and you're going through life creating this behavior out of safety. And then it actually becomes a habit. You start to identify with, this is who I am. I'm an overeater. This is just what I do. And then as an adult, you might learn, oh my gosh, I've been overeating my whole life. I need to cut back. I need to watch my portions. I should restrict how much I'm eating. So you go on a diet, you restrict how much you're eating. But remember, it's not your conscious mind that says you should eat less that controls most of your behavior. What controls most of your behavior is your subconscious mind. So you have this adult mind that's like, you should eat less, it would be healthier for you. But this subconscious, deeper belief that says food is scarce. If you don't eat more than what you need, you might not survive. So then when you try to restrict your food, you almost feel like this, you might even feel triggered by not eating enough food. You might actually feel anxiety and you might be like, this is weird. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel really scared right now. That's weird. I have enough food. This doesn't make sense. And this happens all the time. It's so common for people where you might feel this fear of like, I have plenty of food. I'm just going on a diet to get healthy. Why do I feel this like fear or anxiousness around only having one portion? So then you end up losing control and overeating, and then maybe even as far as like binging, because your subconscious mind is like, we almost didn't have enough food. We need more to protect us. And now you have those two opposing forces. I want to get healthier. Food is scarce, and you're pulled in two different directions. This person who has this experience will always feel like something is wrong with them. Why can't I just diet? It doesn't make sense. What is wrong with me? Why don't I have better portion control? Meanwhile, their subconscious mind is pulling in an opposite direction, trying to keep them safe, and actually the stronger influence on behavior. So this person will probably forever struggle with dieting their entire life. They probably already have struggled their entire life, thinking something is wrong with them and broken. What is beautiful about this is by exploring the subconscious mind, understanding what we've been needing, we can update our beliefs. We can update this programming that we have, but we can't update what we're not aware of. It's just staying, just like Carl Jung says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it'll rule your life and you will call it fate. So it will continue to rule your life until you have understanding of what is pulling me in two opposite directions. So that's just one example of, I want to get healthier, but food is scarce. Or there's even more relationships to food. Let's say that if you were a child, I like to use examples of child because most of these beliefs were actually created in childhood, but you can start to find a thread of where they were created because they show up often at multiple points throughout life. So maybe you're like, wait, this came up for me in my 20s. This feels really strong. That's a great starting point, a great data point to say, I felt this way in my 20s. And then keep asking, I wonder if this same feeling went back earlier. So another one that you might think of is what has been my relationship to food? Let's say if your parents, you were by yourself and your parents were gone working, maybe even if you were with a babysitter, but you just felt that like loneliness from your parents, or if your parents didn't give you love and nurturing, and a next best place to look is that food gives me that feeling of love. Now my belief system is that food is love, and I grew up with this programming because I didn't know what love was. I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't get it from my parents. So if you don't know what love is or what it feels like, food gives me love. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a beautiful awareness that what if you try getting healthier and you're taking away this feeling of love that you've had? Now it feels like there's two opposing things. I want to get healthier, but I'm also missing this feeling of love, right? It's like pulling in different directions. Food is my love. Food is my, right? What does that belief about food mean to me? Where did it come from? Finding those really deeper origin points. So we want to find how did my mind start to develop this relationship to food, to health, to myself? We could start asking questions like, what was my upbringing when it comes to this change that I want to have about health? Was my family also not healthy? And so I actually believed that we're not healthy people, or we're not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. If someone made a comment when you were younger about your body or the way that you eat, and that might have influenced what you think about yourself or what you think about health. If you had parents who self-sacrificed and took care of everyone else because that was the good thing to do, that would make you good people. If you overgive and you over self-sacrifice, now you believe that taking care of yourself is selfish. So you want to get healthier, but then there's this deep belief system that you watched maybe your mom self-sacrifice for everyone else in the world until she was just depleted because that was the right thing to do. So taking care of other people is what makes you a good person, but I want to take care of myself. Two different opposing forces going in different directions, creating a lot of pain. So we can start to explore these feelings and these beliefs about ourselves of what's really happening. So the beliefs are a really big one. We can also explore not just our beliefs, but what are the feelings that we have when we experience these two opposing forces. So when you're having that feeling, something else that you can get really present with is, how am I feeling at that moment when I feel like I'm going in the opposite direction? The reason why this is so important is because a lot of our feelings and decision-based feelings, decisions that have strong feelings behind them will be in our subconscious mind. So there's a book by Robert Wright called Why Is Buddhism True? And he talks about how the brain works and our decision making. And he says that in the brain, there's this area of the brain called the default mode network. And this is in the subconscious mind. It's out of our awareness. And we have this circulating decision making. So let's say there's in your subconscious mind, you're thinking, should I eat the cookie? Should I not eat the cookie? All day long, these decisions are being processed in your default mode network. Should I eat it? Should I not? You don't even have awareness. All these different decisions are happening. Should I exercise? Should I not? Should I eat the cookie? Should I not? All these things are happening without your awareness. And he says the decision that gets propelled forward into your conscious mind is the decision that is propelled by the strongest emotion. So this is where getting connected to our feelings, paying attention to our feelings, and noticing what feelings are there can give us clues as to what is just driving our decision making. So for example, if you're feeling fear, or if you're feeling overwhelm, or you're feeling an emotion like that, like fear that's triggering your nervous system, you're going to take action based on that feeling. What action would be appropriate if you were feeling fear? You would probably eat excess calories because that's a safety response. If you are feeling safe and you're feeling like you have energy and you're confident, you might make a different decision, like, I'm going to go to the gym. So having awareness of your feelings is really, really important. And again, your feelings can be something that goes programmed all the way back to the earliest of times. And so it might not make sense. The feelings that come from our subconscious mind have been part of us from way before we even have like understanding of what's happening. So this is where it takes a lot of time and a lot of trust to understand your feelings. This is where I usually guide people through many months of an experience through mastering mindfulness. This is why sometimes this journey to heal the relationship with your body and your health can take 6 months. It could take a year. It could take a couple of years, because it takes time to trust, what am I feeling in my body? To understand those feelings and how to work with it. But when you do, it changes your relationship to food, to yourself. You're getting it from a core, deep, deep level. So when you're changing your subconscious beliefs and feelings, you're not just trimming the weed, you're pulling it from the root, which is why mastering mindfulness is so powerful, because we're going deeper into the root places of what drives our behavior. So, for example, when it comes to a feeling from a feeling place, something that I realized for myself was when I started paying attention to my feelings, what was present when I wanted to, like, when I had those two different opposing forces inside of me and I felt like I wanted to self-sabotage, something I noticed was this feeling of fear inside of me. And I was like, this is so weird. Why? And my conscious mind was like, this doesn't make sense. Why do you feel fear right now? Why do you need food? Because you feel afraid or you feel fear. There's nothing going on that would make you feel fear. But I started to trust that feeling of just whatever was there. I let go of the judgment around it and I started really paying attention to it. And it sent me on a really deeper path. It took me a couple years to figure this one out. But what I noticed was, when else do I feel the same feeling of fear? And what I noticed was I had this really interesting thing where whenever throughout my life I would go get my blood drawn, or whenever I would get like an IV or a shot, I would go into like this fear nervous system response. Sometimes I would black out. Sometimes I would start like sweating and I would go into this like extreme state of fear. And I always thought it was really strange. At first I thought it was like, I thought I blacked out because I had low blood pressure and I was getting my blood drawn. But then I started to notice, this is happening when I get an IV. This is happening when I get a shot. Anytime something with a needle, I would feel this intense fear. And then I would feel that same signature of fear come up randomly in the middle of a day, and I would want to get food. And I was like, this is really interesting. When else is this happening? And I didn't really think anything of it until one day I was telling my mom. I said, that was so weird, that time that I had surgery and they gave me the IV and I went into like a complete panic attack and I started like crying like a baby and I was like, I need my mom. And it was weird. I was 30 years old and I went into this full-blown panic attack when they gave me an IV. And I was telling my mom, isn't that strange that happened? And she said, well, it kind of makes sense because a few weeks after you were born, they thought you had meningitis and they put all these needles in your body. You had 25 needle pokes in your body. You had to have two spinal taps right in your spine. You had needles in your hands, in your head, in your feet, like just everywhere. And she said, I bet that probably stayed in your nervous system. And that, like, I didn't know that my whole life, that I was blacking out and having these panic attacks. I had no idea that had happened to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. So, and this is long story short, I started to, when I would notice that feeling of fear come up, and how that feeling of fear also showed up when I was getting IVs, or this scared nervous system response that I think was still in my subconscious of, am I safe? I don't know if I'm okay. And I didn't have a memory of it. I can't recall a memory of being in the hospital and being poked by needles when I was a baby. So my mom told me that story. But what's interesting is even without the story, I could feel that feeling of fear. And if I would have just trusted myself that this is what I'm feeling, and wow, it actually feels really, really old. It feels like it could go all the way back to being a child or being an infant. I might have known or been able to work with that feeling. So after that, I went through probably four different individual sessions and processes to calm that part of my nervous system and to retrain my subconscious mind that we're safe now. Whether it was just connecting with myself and going into memories, there's something called memory reconsolidation in psychology where you can change and update your memories and actually change your nervous system. And so I had a few of those experiences and I don't feel that thread of fear anymore. It's gone. It changed. That feeling of fear has been changed from my nervous system. And I feel like that was something I had ever since childhood, as a very young kid. And I think that was one of the core things that was creating this opposing force, was like my mind was like, I want to get healthier. But my body was like, we're not safe. We're not okay. And so we need food to create this safety. And that's when I was self-sabotaging, when I was feeling that feeling of fear. So I know that this is, woof, that story probably opened up a whole can of worms about that deeper self-exploration, but that was a really deep one for me, and it was really meaningful, and it really helped me change my relationship to food. So it started with me finding that moment of when I feel that opposing force, what is the feeling that's here? And what if I trusted so deeply in my body that there might be fear, there might be anxiousness? And our conscious mind is going to go, does that make sense? Should you feel afraid? Should you feel whatever you're feeling? And that's really not helpful, because the conscious mind isn't really what's responsible for this feeling. That feeling is probably something that goes back to a young age, to childhood, but it could be at any time, right? It could be at any point in life. So it's important to know, what is the feelings that are here? So those are two really powerful ways to begin exploring your subconscious mind and understanding these two parts and these two opposing forces that are within you. So we can ask the questions, what are my beliefs? What are the beliefs that were created about food? What were the beliefs that I created about myself, about health? Where did that start from? That did I believe that food was scarce? Did I believe that food created love, that it created comfort, that it created safety? What are the things that I believe about food that might be pulling me in an opposite direction that I might need to update? And then we want to start looking at, so that might be something that is more of like a journaling exercise when you're not in that state of where you're feeling the opposition, just a time where you want to journal and do deeper self-exploration. When you are in that state where you feel like you're being pulled in opposite directions, you're feeling maybe a craving or a trigger coming on, that's when you want to explore, what is the feeling that's here? What are the feelings that's propelling my decision-making forward right now? Because that's probably the strongest feeling that's propelling this decision that's here. There are some other influences of why we watch ourselves do one thing and we do another thing. Another really great question to ask is, what is the benefit of me actually not stepping into the health that I want? And everybody, every time says, there is no benefit. I want my health. There's no reason why I would do this to myself. But I want to challenge you to really go deep and ask yourself, there's a reason why I'm doing it. What is that reason? What's the benefit to me? How is it helping me right now? Has it been helping me get through a difficult time in my life? Because I don't have the energy to exercise and cook and take care of myself. Or food is creating comfort for me right now, and I'm feeling like there's maybe I don't have enough pleasure in my life right now, or it's helping me. Maybe my food is actually a way for me to avoid what's underneath my cravings for food, what's been missing in my life. Sometimes we're not ready to step into that health because we don't have the environment for it. We don't have the bandwidth for it. We don't have the energy. Maybe we have the realization that it's going to require a deeper, hard look at some of our patterns and our relationship to food, and that can be hard. So there's a lot of value by really asking an honest question, like, what is the value that I'm getting from maybe making the decisions that are not making me happy, and having some compassion for that, that maybe it's really playing a valuable role right now. And when I can understand the role that it's playing, then I can be better and more strategic about how do I balance it out and make my health a more important one if it feels like it's time. It might also just not be time to step into health. So I know this conversation opened up a ton of big questions. It probably made you ask yourself, like, wow, I have a lot to think about. I have a lot to think about my family, my relationship to food, my past, myself, my feelings. It's a deeper self-exploration that takes time, it takes dedication, it takes patience. But you can start to peel back those layers and ask those questions. And that's how you really get to the root of changing your life. If you're bumping up against your subconscious beliefs and feelings, remember, that is stronger than your conscious willpower and desire to get healthier. This is why it feels like a war for most people to change their health, because we have our relationship to food for a reason. So if you don't understand that reason of why your health has gotten off track, you're going head to head with those deeper reasons, those deeper beliefs and feelings, and it feels like this fight, and it feels like, oh, one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, two steps back. And it's just this constant war. But if you update this side, then it's like, oh, Now it just feels natural. It feels in rhythm. It feels like harmony. That's why I like the word harmony, because it's like, oh, I needed to update my fears, my subconscious beliefs, what I thought about food, that I thought food is still scarce and I didn't even know. When we update it from the core, now we're really moving from a place that feels more harmonious with ourselves. It feels a lot easier. So do the deeper subconscious work. I know it can take time. It can take a deeper self-exploration. If you want to come on a journey with us, we are opening up enrollment for the Mastering Mindfulness Institute. We go on a fun deep dive journey together. But I do believe that this is the work that has the power of deeply changing health from a level that diets don't touch. So if you're kind of stuck staying surface and you're like, why can't I figure this out? What is wrong with me? Why does it feel da-da-da-da? And we stay surface, go deeper. Whether you do it with me in the Mastering Mindfulness Institute, whether you do it on your own, or you keep reading, or you keep studying, study yourself. Study yourself. Don't study calories. Don't study macros. Study yourself in your feelings. Get closer to these places, these questions that maybe you haven't asked yourself before. So I hope you enjoyed this. If this video was helpful, definitely leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought. If it stimulated your mind, made you think different, feel free to send me a message on Instagram if something resonated with you. If you like this video, give it a like, give it a share, whatever has landed with you. I'd love to hear about how this is sitting with you. So I hope you enjoyed, and feel free to check out the Mastering Mindfulness Institute if you want to join us in a deeper self-exploration. And I'll see you guys next time.